Good morning. My name is Reverend Andrew Mdarara, minister here. Welcome you to Hinckley United Reformed Church. Just a disclaimer, one of my cylinders today is misfiring. So hopefully we will have a comfortable ride as we worship together. We may be seated. Psalm 147. The psalmist says, "Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting." So it is pleasant and it is fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up the wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord. He is mighty in power. His understanding of us and of the world is or has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Now, sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the skies with a cloud. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of horse, nor in the delight or his delight in the legs of a warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who puts their hope in his unfailing love. Extol the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, Zion. And we are gathered here to praise him for his greatness, for his understanding of us, for his care, for he heals us, he sustains us, he supports us, and his ever-present presence with us. The psalmist, one of my favorite psalms, 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because my God is ever-present with me." When I feel like he is with me, he is with me. When I feel like he is not with me, he is still with me. And therefore the psalmist encourages us to praise this kind of a God who is always present. When we are pleasant, God is with us. For some of us, when we are not pleasant, God still remains with us. That's the kind of God that I'm encouraging us to praise this morning. The God who is always there to sustain us. Let's give thanks to this God in prayer. Marvelous God, we thank you for who you are to us. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your sustenance. Thank you for being present with us. We thank you because you care for us so much to the extent that you know the number of our hairs. We thank you for your support of us when we feel discouraged. You uplift us. When we are hopeless, you give us hope. When we don't feel inspired, you inspire us through your word. We thank you for this privilege to to gather together and to express our praises and our thanksgiving to you in our own ways. Be exalted in our midst as we praise you, as we sing to you. May you receive glory, honor, power, and praise. Because you are worthy of all this. We thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for this church. Thank you for our brothers and sisters in this church. Be glorified through each and every one of us as we lift up our voices to you, giving you praise, glory, and honor. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. As we are able, we stand together and we sing two hymns or two songs. One of them is Blessing and Honor, Glory and Power Be Unto the Ancient of Days. And then we sing together, Blessed Be Your Name.
be seated. David will give us family news and notices and prayers of intercession.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
I don't have much family news, but I'll tell you what I've got. Dennis apparently is still in hospital, but he was going to go to the chapel service in the hospital this morning at 10:30. So as he's worshipping there, we're worshipping here, which is good. The funeral of Ethel Farmer, of course, is on Monday the 12th of February, which is tomorrow week, at 12 noon. So if you're able to come to that, please do, to give thanks for the life of Ethel and to support Janet and the family. That would be good to see you. I know Paul wants to talk to us in a minute, but just before we do that, I'm told that there's a certain person in the congregation whose birthday it is. I believe it's George's birthday today. I believe he's just turned 30.
Oh.
And I've been asked to play Happy Birthday to him, so we'll do that and then we'll have Paul.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, how do you follow that?
So, I love embarrassing people. So, some of you would have noticed as you came through the vestibule, there is a pile of backpacks. It's not my lunch or anything like that. We have the backpacks, it's all the items that were collected. We've got some in church, some have already been given out. But for those of you with vehicles, we ask that you take one, please, and put in your vehicle. We never know when we're going to come across somebody that's in need, that's homeless. So rather than you have to run around and bring something back, if you put something in your vehicle, and then you've got it at short notice. So please grab a backpack on your way out. There's also a sheet on there. Just if you want to provide more items in the backpack, there's a sheet of suggestions attached as well. The second thing, and I have to check the date, 23rd of February, we'll be putting it on the slides as well next week, we'll be having a prayer walk, and it'll be a monthly prayer walk at the last Friday of every month, starting on the 23rd. We'll be starting at Castle Street at 9 a.m. on the Friday. 9 a.m. on the Friday. And then we'll come down Castle Street. And into, well, for those of you that will be up at 9 a.m. on a Friday, and I'm not just picking on Sue here, so set your alarms, and you'll be more than welcome to join me on that prayer walk, join the rest of us. 9 a.m. on the last Friday of every month, and it's to pray for the community and for the people in this community. Okay. Thank you.
Just before we come to our prayers of intercession, I've noticed that Trevor's here, which is good to see you back, Trevor, so glad that you're recovered. For our prayers of intercession this morning, there are some responses for you to make. When I say, Lord, in your mercy, if you could respond with, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, whose Spirit helps us in our weakness and guides us in our prayers, we pray for the church and for the world in the name of Jesus Christ. Renew the life and faith of the church. Strengthen our witness and make us one in Christ. We pray for your church here in this place, that we might discern your will for us and be obedient to your calling. Grant that we and all who confess that Christ is Lord may be faithful in your service and filled with the Spirit, that the world may be turned to you. Lord, in your mercy, guide the nations in the way of justice, in the ways of justice, liberty, and peace, and help them to seek the unity and welfare of all people. We pray for the escalating conflict in the Middle East. We pray that leaders and nations will turn to you and that your peace will prevail. Give to all in authority wisdom to know and strength to do, wisdom to know and strength to do what is right. Lord, in your mercy, comfort those in sorrow. Heal the sick in body or in mind, and deliver the oppressed. We pray for those members of our fellowship who are unwell, for Dennis, Wendy, Richard, Julie's mum Beryl, Jackie's family, her cousin and grandparents, and all those recovering from illness. Grant us compassion for all who suffer, and help us so to carry one another's burdens that we may fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for the life of Ethel Farmer, and we remember the family in our prayers at this time. Receive our thanks and praise for all who have served you faithfully here on earth, and especially those who have revealed to us your grace in Christ. May we and all your people share the life and joy of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
The opportunity for us to give to the kingdom of God as we sing together, Christ triumphant, ever reigning.
glory, honor, praise be to your name. Thank you for your goodness to us. We respond to your love through these gifts and those given through the banks. May you be glorified through the giving of your people. Bless your people. Bless the works of their hands. Bless their children and their grandchildren. To the glory of your name, we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. The reading today is from Mark chapter 1, verses 38 to 45. Very early the next morning, long before daylight, Jesus got up and left the house. He went out of the town to a lonely place where he prayed. But Simon and his companions went in searching for him. And when they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus answered, "We must go to the other villages round here. I have to preach in them also, because that is why I came." So he travelled all over Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. A man suffering from a dreaded skin disease came to Jesus, knelt down, and begged him for help. "If you want to," he said, "you can make me clean." Jesus was filled with pity and stretched out his hand and touched him. "I do want to," he answered, "be clean." At once the disease left the man, and he was clean. Then Jesus spoke sternly to him and sent him away at once, after saying to him, "Listen, don't tell anyone about this, but go straight to the priest and let him examine you. Then, in order to prove to everyone that you are cured, offer the sacrifice that Moses ordered." But the man went away and began to spread the news everywhere. Indeed, he talked so much that Jesus could not go into a town publicly. Instead, he stayed out in lonely places, and people came to him from everywhere.
Right, how do I work this out? I think you read the wrong reading, Karen. Yeah, yes. That's all right. The reading is Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. But he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled through Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. This is the word of the Lord. We stand up as we are able and we sing together, Father in heaven, how we love you. I want to share with us this morning a message that I've entitled Jesus' Model of Doing Ministry. And we are looking at this context, the passage we have just read, Mark chapter 1, 29 to 39, and how Jesus modeled his ministry. Although he did it in another way, in other passages of Scripture. Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee and he calls the disciples. And in the Capernaum synagogue, he heals a man with an unclean spirit and rebukes the spirit and calling the spirit out of him. The people in the local area are amazed by his kind of doing ministry, particularly how demons responded to his authority and the uniqueness of his ministry as a rabbi. You know, when you're talking about a rabbi, we're talking about the teachers of the law, and compared to the ordinary teachers of the law, particularly the Pharisees, and how they taught and how they did their ministry. The ministry of Jesus was unique, particularly in the authority that he had over diseases and powers of darkness. And people were drawn to Jesus because of his approach to ministry. Meanwhile, after the healing in the synagogue, Jesus retains to Simon Peter's house, and there he finds Simon Peter's mother-in-law in the grip of a fever, which was not a small matter in the ancient world. She was struggling with her health. She needed support. And Jesus responded to this need by reaching out and touching her, and she receives the healing, and she is restored in the community, and she continues to serve Jesus throughout his ministry. But as we look at how Jesus models his ministry, one of the key things that Jesus did was meeting people where they lived. And that was very important and very different from how the other rabbis or the other teachers of the law conducted themselves. The Jewish tradition expected people to come to the synagogue, where Jesus also went. But Jesus took a step further and invested time to be where people lived and trying to understand how they lived, and therefore ministering to them within their context. Because sometimes if we don't have the context of the people, we miss the ministry we need to give to those people. In my pastorate here, I had a rude awakening experience. I was called by the funeral directors and informed that there was somebody who needed to have their funeral conducted at this church. And so, as what normal ministers do, I got myself ready to go and meet this family. I had with me the draft order of service and the hymn book and what the church charges and all those details, you know, looking organized. And I went into this home and I was given a rude awakening. Now, we sit down with this lady who had lost her mom, and I said, this is what I've brought. This is the order of service that I have. This is how we are going to work. And the lady said to me, I can't read. Pooh. Okay. So what do we do? Because when I went to this house, I went in my world, how I thought things work, and I'd psyched myself, prepared myself in my world. And I realized that all my world that I had, I had to take these things and just shred them and just work out in the world of this person that I'd gone to minister to. I had two choices. Either I could stick with my world, which I know very well and understand very well, and say, this is how it's going to work, this is how we do it. Or I had to humbly throw away my world and then go to the world of this person and then work it from that world. And Jesus understood that very well as a model of ministry. That if we are to be an effective people or a community doing ministry and mission in the community, meeting people where they are is paramount. Understanding where people are coming from. But sometimes the church, how we prefer is people to come to us and people to learn how we do things, because, I mean, we do things better than any other person, and then help them to understand us. Whereas Jesus, he goes to Simon Peter's home, and he goes and sees the situation that is there and deals with the situation from that context. And we even see his ministry, him becoming flesh, John chapter 1, when John talks about it, the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That is a model of ministry where God himself in Christ Jesus, in his glory in heaven, decided to leave his heaven and came to us and became a human being so that he can minister to us within our context. No, Jesus is so wise and great that he is able to minister to the Portuguese people in their context. He is able to minister to the Spanish people in their context. He is able to minister to the Xhosas in their context. He is able to minister to the Zulus. He goes to their context and ministers to them within their context. But what is the model of the church? The model of the church is to say, forget about your context. Your context don't matter to us. We want you to come to our context because our context is the best. And Jesus models to us and he says, he goes to where people were. He goes to Nicodemus' house, a tax collector. He goes and understands his world and ministers to him in his world. When Jesus sees the woman at the well, Jesus goes to where the woman was and sits with her and understands her story and gives her the opportunity to speak to Jesus about her story. Being where people are is highly important. And then this is where I struggle with our model, where we are going as a denomination, where I struggle with our model of, no, probably having two churches is a luxury. I'm a luxury. I'm a minister in luxury. But when you have four churches or five churches and trying to be in the context of the people, so you're almost preaching out of the context of the people because you have got no idea what Mary is going through. You have got no idea where Mary is coming from. You have got no idea what kind of a house Lucia is living in. And that model does not work. But anyway, that's the model I work under. But Jesus has got time to invest in the people's lives by being where they are. And we try to, we're working with the pastoral team this week on Friday, trying to encourage ourselves to reach out to the people where they are, if they are in a care home, if they need home communion, to try to be there for the people. And in practice on paper it works okay. In practice, it's a nightmare. But however, Jesus models to us, yes, people can come to him and share with him. Jesus invites people to follow him, but he always took time to be where the people were. Not just to be with them, not just to be in their context so that he can talk about their context and share about their context, but he is there in their context and meeting their needs. Jesus wants the people to be healed, and he goes there and meets their needs. And sometimes if we don't know what do people need, we are not able to meet their needs. What does so-and-so need from us as a church, as a congregation? And we are not able to meet those needs because we don't know what they need. It is important for us as a people, as a church, to do everything in our power. Jesus did everything in his power to make sure that the needs of the people are met. He prayed for the sick. He prayed with them and he prayed for them. He taught them. Meeting the needs of the people is important. What are the needs of our people in our community? When our people are lonely, when they need somebody to talk to, we are supposed to be there as a model of ministry and meeting those needs. When our people are hungry, we are supposed to try our best and being there and meeting their needs. And not just sharing the gospel. The gospel, yes, is the need of the world. The world needs the gospel. The world needs to know that God so loved them and he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the need we have to meet. And we have a responsibility to go out into the world, into the people where they are, and meeting their need for salvation. It is important. When people need healing, we are supposed to be there. The Bible teaches us that if anyone amongst you is sick, James says, let him call the elders of the church, and the elders of the church shall lay their hands upon them, and through that they will be healed. So we need to meet those needs, to pray. And sometimes I will acknowledge that, sometimes the church does not have the space because of how our world works. Because how the order of service goes is you do whatever you need to do. You preach and then you do prayers of intercession, offering, and there's no room to do ministry. So if somebody is struggling, are we flexible enough as church? Which I think in my little head, I think I could be flexible. But at the same time, I acknowledge that sometimes we are not flexible. For people to come to us and receive the healing and receive the prayer and having a listening ear, of which sometimes we do very well, sometimes we don't do very well. Meeting the needs of the people and acknowledging that those needs are important. Because sometimes we don't value the needs of other people. But Jesus always valued the needs of those people. Those that needed healing, Simon Peter's mother-in-law needed healing. And he stretched out his hand and raised up, and she received healing. The people that were brought by the community to Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house, they were healed when they came to Jesus. Healing and laying of hands and casting out demons. And sometimes we think, The ancient world did not understand that there were different causes of diseases, but I think they did understand. They understood that other diseases were caused by demons, other diseases were caused by health challenges or food or poisoning. They understood that. But Jesus was able to meet those needs. Those, when they were hungry, he fed them. He gave them food to eat. Touching the needs of the people, not from a distance, but from a close range. Thank you, Paul, for highlighting the importance of having a backpack in your car and being able to meet the needs of the people. Because sometimes you haven't got anything, and sometimes it's not easy to respond to the needs of the people. On Wednesday, I had an opportunity, scared opportunity, but wonderful opportunity came out, wonderful. I got out of the church building, not here in Daventry, and then somebody by the corner says, oh, hello, are you the minister? Alarm bells go, beep, 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 beep. What is she after? Oh, anyway, I admit I'm the minister. Oh, okay. And the story starts, she shares what she wants. I'm going somewhere. I've made an appointment. And she starts telling me the story. And I'm thinking, oh, I need to see so and so now. Anyway, but I haven't got an opportunity to say no. So I listen to the story, and she tells me the story. And says, oh, I haven't got any food in my house. Beep, 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 alarm bells. Anyway, so I said, fine. Let's go into Audi. I'll buy you some food. Get a trolley. I'll pay for it. Alarm bells. Beep, beep, beep. Anyway, we go through the house of the shop, and she picks what she needs. I'm worried, I would admit publicly. I am worried that she is going to pick a lot of things that I'm not going to be able to pay for. So that's why I'm saying pee-pee, alarm bells. Anyway, we go through the aisle, she picks milk. She picks a loaf of bread, and she picks bacon and some cold meat. And she says, oh, I'm happy with this. How wrong I was. Because in my head I was thinking, she wants to snooker me. Oh, and she says, oh, that's fine. Thank you. Thank you so much. So that's enough. So we go to the till. I pay for it. And then out of the door she says to me, oh, I'll bring you the man. Now I've got the courage. Now I'm happy at the end of the day that she didn't snooker me as I thought she was going to snooker me. I said, oh, fine, don't do that. No, that's okay. That's how we bless. But sometimes we miss the opportunity to enjoy doing ministry because of how our world, how we are wired in our world, and not being in the world of the people that we are supposed to meet the needs of the people. And that's a blessing. I enjoyed it after, but I struggled in the process, of which if I was loose enough, I would have enjoyed the whole process of supporting. But because I was walking in my world with a person who is in her world, that I should have stepped down from my high horse and being at the level and begin to do ministry and meeting the needs of the people. That is what God has called us to do, meeting the needs of the people. Do I find it easy? Not always. Do I enjoy it when I get it right? Yes. Do I struggle with it when I get it wrong? A lot. But we are called by God to meet the needs of the people. I admit we are not able to meet all the needs, but we do everything in our power, in our ability, and respond to the needs of the people. That's how Jesus modeled his ministry. Not only ministering to the needs of the people in their context, but also Jesus being able to withdraw and go to a secluded place and to pray. This is where some of us struggle. Creating enough time for us. I mean, when I compare how busy Jesus was, as compared to my claimed business, they are not comparable. But Jesus, in his business, he still created enough time for him to seek God's face and spending time with God, so that he can continue in the circle of being where people are and meeting their needs with power and demonstration of God's power. And he knew that for him to be able to do that, his power was dependent on how much time he spent in the closet with God. And if we are to be an effective church and an effective ministers of the gospel, the amount of time we invest in our personal relationship with God is paramount. As children of God, taking time to pray, praying with ourselves and with one another is important, because we depend on God. And prayer, how I understand prayer is an admittance to God that I cannot do without you. So the reason why I pray is because I acknowledge that I cannot do without God's strength. So the opposite of that is we don't pray because we know we don't need God. We can do without God. We don't need to consult God on anything because we know everything. We just do as we want. But Jesus understood that he had to spend time with the one who had sent him on this earth to do the ministry. And he did that in prayer. Prayer is paramount. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 talks about, if my people, we are the people of God who are called by his name, by God's name, if we humble ourselves, seek God's face, turn away from our wicked ways, God will hear our prayers and he will heal our land. Then we would move in power because we have been resourced in the presence of God. Spending time, Jesus, with God, understood that as paramount for his ministry. So how did Jesus model his ministry? By coming to the people, to their context, not only coming there to watch them, but also meeting their needs. But in these times of withdrawal from the ministry, he went back to the closet and he sought God's face. He sought to be rejuvenated by the strength, because the Lord is our strength. He is our fortress. He is our buckler. He is the one that re-energizes us. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, When he left earth, he said, "Tarry ye in Jerusalem until the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And when he shall come upon you, you shall be my witnesses in Samaria and in Judea and in all the parts of the world. But you need to spend time with me. You need to tarry. You need to invest time in your prayer life. And is investing time in prayer a difficult thing? Yes. Do I find it very difficult? I find it very difficult. But one of the things that motivate me to create that space is the acknowledgement that I need that space where I can get strength from God and sit down with God, or as I drive, as I walk, as I do whatever I'm doing, to know that God, I need you. And there are some times where I'm going somewhere and when I need to pause and say, God, just sort my head out. Get me ready for where I am going in. And sometimes I am highly arrogant about it. I don't need God. And I walk in because I am confident. I can smash this. I know these things. But what we need to do constantly is to have a word with God. Give ourselves space and allow God to say, chill, calm down. There is no need for that. You don't need to worry about that. You need to do this. This is where I'm directing you to do. You need to just shut up and listen. When I've already prepared the words I want to say. And when you spend that time with God in silence, God then says to you, you just need to be there and listen. I don't like to be told what to do because I'm highly organized. But I've learned that when I listen to God, the author and the finisher of the ministry that I engage with, I come out with my tail high because God would have guided me. But sometimes it's difficult to respond to what God wants us to respond. Amen. I will go in the strength of the Lord. We sing together our closing hymn. Thank you. Thank you, David. Now, the Lord says to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the people of God. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. We share together the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.